and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. The U.S. Army tells CBS News two U.S. military helicopters have crashed near Fort Campbell, Kentucky. The crash of the two Blackhawks occurred during a routine training mission. So far, military officials have not released information about the conditions of the crew members. State and local police, as well as the U.S. military, are investigating. Pope Francis is hospitalized. CBS's Seth Doan reports from Rome.
Pope Francis was kissing babies, welcoming children, and addressing crowds at his weekly audience. But the pontiff appeared pained as he was helped into his Pope Mobile, and soon after he was brought to nearby Gemelli Hospital for what a Vatican spokesman called, quote, previously scheduled checks. However, the Vatican revealed Pope Francis had complained of breathing difficulties in recent days and will be treated in the hospital for a respiratory infection, which is not COVID-19.
An actor says she was right near the Nashville school shooting this week and along with her husband tried to help kids get to safety. Here's CBS's Matt Piper.
Melissa Joan Hart told fans on Instagram her kids go to the school right next door.
We helped a class of kindergartners across a busy highway that were climbing out of the woods. They were trying to escape.
And she says this week's tragedy was like deja vu.
We moved here from Connecticut, where we were in a school a little ways down from Sandy Hook. So this is our second experience with a school shooting, with our kids being in close proximity.
The pair has a 17, 15, and 10-year-old. Matt Piper, CBS News.
A vigil was held Wednesday night for the three children and three adults killed at the private Covenant School. A United Airlines flight was forced to make an emergency landing Tuesday night shortly after takeoff from Houston after one of the engines caught fire. CBS News aviation safety analyst Robert Sumwalt says the plane landed safely.
The airplane is capable of being flown on one engine. The pilots are trained to lose an engine right at takeoff. They're trained to land an airplane with only one engine.
There were no injuries. California's Reparations Task Force has heard from experts on proposed reparations for slavery.
Can America make atonement for its dark history of slavery and the mistreatment of black people fighting for freedom?
I was born in the cotton field. I was raised in the cotton fields.
80-year-old Bishop Henry Williams lived in the South. Now living in California, he knows he's only a few generations away from when his great-grandfather was enslaved.
KOVR-TV's Shantae Passmore. A ferry carrying 250 passengers and crew has caught fire in the southern Philippines. The governor says 31 people were killed. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist-prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
One in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Clear skies overnight with a low of 13. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 44. Overcast. Mixed precipitation likely. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 33. Overcast skies. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 13.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
By everyone where I live, I was told this. When you have a kid, man, you'll get more conservative. I promise you that. Well, on day 9 of being a father, I wake up to the news that just up the road in Nashville, there was a school shooting.
I saw it go.
No. If anything, I'm more far left today than I've ever been.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Which of these values are the most important to you? Patriotism, religion, having children, community involvement, or money? Which of those is the most important to you? For me, I would have to say community involvement. If those are my five choices, followed after by having children. But we would love to hear from you. Which of those values are the most important to you? Patriotism, religion, having children, community involvement, or money? 844-967-2789. Starting off hot. Greg Bach, which one of those is the most important to you?
Money.
Really?
Yeah.
Of those five, money is the most important.
Yeah. Because I don't want to be rich. I just want to be able to pay my bills.
See, and that's a very different definition, yeah, I would say, of valuing money, mm-hmm, in that I value just being able to get by versus, yeah, the pursuit of.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just pursue to pay my college loans.
Which you're almost done with.
It's true.
And Jake Manier, what would you say your top value is of those five?
Well, I don't have children. I'm not religious. I guess community involvement and money.
Community involvement and money.
If we can pick two, I'm definitely going to say community involvement. I don't want to look like a monster here.
So I ask this because, according to a new poll, Wall Street Journal NORC poll, I don't know if it's an NORC or do you think it's NORC?
NORC.
This is came out this week, and it says, America pulls back from values that once defined it. And basically, four of those five values I just listed off have seen a rapid decline in the average American's ranking of their importance. And so the drop in patriotism from 1998 was 60% of Americans said that value was important to them. It dropped to 26%.
Wow.
I think I'm reading that right. Yeah. Religion went from about 60 to just below 40. Having children went from 60 to below 30. Community involvement had a peak. It actually went up from 1998 to 2019. it went up. And then in 2019, it was above 60, and now it's basically 20.
Oh, that's, gee, I wonder what happened over those years.
And of those five, the only one that has gone up is money, but not a lot.
I know how to pick them, baby.
You just want to be in the in crowd?
No.
And so I'm asking all of you, both of you here, Mr. Greg Bach and Jane Manair, but also people at home, of those values, which is the most important to you? And I guess a follow-up question is, has it shifted for you over time?
And the five are?
Patriotism, religion, having children, community involvement, and money.
Okay.
844-967-2789. Like, if I had to rank those, I would say community involvement, having children, money, patriotism, religion. Although patriotism and money, I would say, are matched.
Yeah.
For me.
Really? Interesting.
For me, religion, I mean, I'm not very religious.
Yeah.
But I also see, for me, what patriotism means is also tied to community involvement.
And see, that's how I see the money thing. It's not money, the pursuit of being Elon Musk. It's just, what is money to you? It's, for me, paying my bills. Patriotism has, I think patriotism might be dead last.
Joseph McClear says you're an ultra-capitalist.
What does that mean?
On the Facebook live stream,
I'm an
our
ultra,
friend Joe, I
I'm
think
an
he's
ultra
joking.
Cla- oh, Joe McClear. I see you, Joseph McClear, which is Irish for the clear.
But, I wonder, the way you're defining money, I think, is interesting as far as it's important to you to be able to pay your bills. Because I think this is, when I say values, like, do you think of money as a value in the way that you're defining it?
For me, yes. I guess I just see it as very, these are my values. These is what, like, and I don't, yeah, I see it as mine. Like, this is for me. I don't know how people see money otherwise. Like, they might see it as, I need to build a rocket ship to go to Mars. Some people might be like, I need to pay for my kids' food. So their values might be money. They work four jobs, and that's how I see it. Just like, for me, patriotism is probably the bottom, because I see patriotism as a commodity, as a commercialized thing. It's Zuba pants to me. It's not, I no longer feel like I feel patriotism. It's like, oh, great. He's got four American flags on his property. He loves America. You know what I mean?
And I think that's also, because they touch on that in the article. And we talked about this, I feel like, was it last July-ish, when we talked about how people's attitudes around patriotism has changed because it's become so intertwined with mega, like, nationalist, like, right-wing ideology.
Yeah.
Versus, like, my mom has said, she's like, I, for the first time ever, have thought twice about putting my flag up. And we always put the flag up.
We talked about that article. I said, ultimately, I'm not going to put an American flag up on my property because it's hard for me to look at that flag and see the same thing other people do. And I don't think they see what they think they see. It is a magnified 9/11 version of America when they hang that flag and salute with a big puffy chest saying, we are the best. It's very, I don't know. That's why, for me, patriotism is at the bottom of it all.
Well, and I think, Kristen, you make a good point about one political party has claimed they are the only patriots. And unless you align with their beliefs, then you are not a patriot. And I think that's why a lot of Americans are ranking it lower. And I also think we're the richest country in the world, and people are still going bankrupt when they get sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just think a lot of people, I love this country. We have issues. We have major, major issues that we just choose not to resolve. It's like the immigration issue. It's like the Dreamers. And so while I love our country, I don't know that it's the best in the world anymore.
No. Yeah, agreed. I completely agree with you,
but
Jane.
I don't think you have to. Is that, so we're talking about a new poll that was published in Wall Street Journal this week that I saw trending on Twitter, and I thought it was super interesting as far as the nosedive that patriotism, religion, having children and community involvement has had amongst people who still deem those as important values to have. The only one that they has kind of gone up, and it hasn't gone up enough to compensate for the decline of those four, is money. And so I guess, one, my question is, what has replaced those values? What do people actually find important now? Because even if money's gone up, it's not enough to say, well, everyone just shifted their focus from what they find important to be money now. Mm-hmm. So what do people actually care about if it's not those four things? But to piggyback off of the patriotism thing, I find what I do with the videos and voting and all of that stuff, and the constant idea that things can be better,
yeah,
is patriotic.
Don't disagree with you at all. And that's the thing, is that's how for me, the same thing with the money thing. I define it, when I say the value of money, I have my definitions for me personally. You have your definitions for patriotism. I would say the same thing goes for Jane, which she just said about loving America, but let's talk about its problems. Mm-hmm. That's patriotism to me. Patriotism for me is reading books on this country and the systemic problems therein, and knowing about why we aren't the greatest country on earth. So I think it's all how you see that one thing. So,
and I think too, Greg, to go off of that, I think there are those who believe that being a patriot means never criticizing your own country.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
If you don't like it, leave.
To which exactly. I would call them a neophyte or a sycophant. I would call them wrong.
But I guess, back to the audience, does this surprise you? Do the results of this poll surprise you as far as the shift down of people finding all or any of the values of patriotism, religion, having children, or community involvement going down? And I guess we can talk more about why we think that is, but I think it's just super interesting. So 844-967-2789, that is 844-96.
Party.
And I don't know. Is this another thing we're going to blame social media on as far as what, the why? Because I do think that there is a shift in, I think about the amount of my parents volunteered.
Mm.
And were my dad, they sat on boards. They did stuff at the Boys and Girls Club. My mom was very involved in all things with the school. And I remember once I became an adult and was working a full-time job and did not have children, yeah, and somehow did not find the time to be that involved in my community as much as they were. I was like, how did you guys do this? How did you find the time to work, two kids, basically have a bunch of other kids always in our house? Because my dad was a basketball coach, so there was a lot of kids always just there that my mom was feeding. And have the time to volunteer for other things and give back. And I would say, I don't know. I think every once in a while there's some event that we go to that we try to volunteer for. But as far as the consistency of being on a board, being a part of that, being part of your church or your community and stuff like that, I would say that is, I know that it has gone down. And I don't know if it's just because we feel so busy and work has gotten so intense, but that is something that I feel like it has shifted in a generation. But we have to go to break.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep this conversation going. And then at 11:30, wish he was here on better terms, but comedian Corey Forrester is going to be here to talk about his viral video about becoming a dad and not becoming more conservative after becoming a dad. So stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
On Tuesday, April 4th, we have a chance to elect people who will do the right thing for Wisconsin and for Waukesha. We need experienced leaders we can trust. Vote for Janet Protasiewicz for Supreme Court, Fred Stram for Waukesha County Circuit Court, and Diane Voigt for Waukesha School Board. Janet, Fred, Diane. Because we can trust them. Vote on April 4th. Your vote and your voice matter.
Paid for by Blue Sky Waukesha.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Weather brought to you by Freshfin, bringing you a fresh and healthy fast casual experience. Seafood, chicken, pork, or tofu. The bowl options at Freshfin are endless. Check them out at the corners of Brookfield, Bayshore Mall, East Side, and Third Ward, or online at freshfin.com.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with lows around 18. Southeast winds around 5 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 45. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast skies tomorrow night. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 38. A dusting of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
Hey there, fellow.
The Shaw 101 FM.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach. And we are wondering, what do you actually value these days? Because apparently, and according to a new Wall Street Journal poll, don't find patriotism, religion, having children, or community involvement all that important, and it has taken a nosedive over the years in American ideology. And I'm wondering what has replaced it.
Well, there's something I want to say about the whole thing itself, the whole polling. I think that religion and having children, I think, you know, you look at it, goes up from 1998. I feel like people are more confident and feeling better about themselves saying religion isn't a part of my life. It's not something that gets you looks or gets you any sort of criticism. Like, you know, people are like, we don't believe in God. What's wrong with you?
I think it depends on where you live.
Absolutely.
I think it does depend on where you live. But nowadays in polling, you can easily say, I don't want to have children. And you don't have to worry about it as much as you did 25 years ago, I think. So I think the natural progression of religion and having children going down, it has to do with people being more okay with saying it out loud.
Totally. But I also, what has replaced it? So 844-967-2789. When you think about words like values,
yeah,
what do you value? Like, what is important to you as far as, like, because one of the other ones in the poll was hard work. And so, like, I feel like I still very much value hard work, both mine and recognizing it in other people.
Right.
And I don't think that should define your, like, moral character, but, like, I do think it's admirable to work hard. And so, like, I think that's the thing that I find missing in this poll and would love to hear more people verbalize is, like, what do you find important in your life? Because I don't think so. I would never peg you as someone who's like, so money is the most important thing to you?
No, but out of the five.
Take away the five. As far as values go,
my wife,
that's not a value.
Well, let me put it this way. As a husband, we aren't a traditional family. Those are only the two of us, but what we have, our house, our life, what we're trying to build together over the years, that is the most important thing to me. And that is directly tied to her.
Isn't that just another way, Greg, of calling it? I value being a responsible citizen.
Yeah, but you asked me,
so
and
your
I answered.
Family.
Yeah, so for me, it's family, and also then the other family of mine that connects to that. But the most important value is family. The most important. I mean, I love the Fast and Furious. I take it to heart. Family is most important, my friends. And honestly, of all these five, community involvement's the only one that's surprising. All the other four, like, this is hack to me.
To you?
Yeah, those are four hack poll questions because,
well, it went into a lot more.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, the other questions they asked, the other are more interesting to me in the article itself. But yeah, I mean, for me, the most important thing is family. And that's why money is important, is important value to me, because I want to make sure I make it to support us to move on and be happy and go on that ski trip.
Well, I think that's the thing. There's always like, if you, sometimes it's digging another layer of why to find the thing that you actually care about. So for you, it's not money. It's money in order to support the thing that you care about.
Security.
Most. Security.
Yeah.
Jane, what would it be for you?
Well, and again, I consider being a responsible citizen.
Yeah.
We pay our taxes. We both work. We try to be good people. We try to be good neighbors. You know, we try to be good Americans. But I still retain the right to ask difficult questions.
Yeah, of course.
And but there are some who don't want to hear difficult questions.
They don't want to hear the truth.
Which is what we're going to talk about at the end of today.
Ooh.
We found a great Simon Sinek, who also talked about getting to the why. But it kind of will probably bookend this conversation of getting at the end of the show. We're going to talk about, can you be truthful without being rude? And I think in the Midwest, we just opt for not doing either. And so we don't tell the truth because we don't want to be rude. But then we just talk about each other behind the back.
Later,
we got Joe from Appleton on the phone. Thanks for calling, Joe. What do you want to say? We got about a minute and a half.
Sure. Hey, everybody. Greg, first of all, McClear. It's not the clear. It's son of clear.
You totally actually me in the comments. Go on, Joseph, son of the clear. Ugh.
All right, here's what I'll say. You know, I'm with Greg. Family is first. I mean, I guess having kids. I already have kids, and I'm married. So being a father and a husband, number one in my life, absolutely. But when it comes down to things like religion or spirituality and patriotism, I cannot segregate those from community involvement. They go together hand in hand.
Interesting.
And last thing I just want to say about, you know, Greg, I know you had said you have some difficulty with the flag nowadays. I can empathize with that, but there's no way I'm going to let the MAGA brains take my flag from me. I'm going to wave it just as proudly as I ever had, because I still believe in this country. I believe in, you know, the good in it. I believe in its people, and I believe in its future. And just because people are waving it around with their faux patriotism, which, yeah, just means agree with what we agree, and you're a patriot, otherwise you're a communist or what have you, nonsense. I'm not going to buy into that. I'm going to continue to wave my flag, so yada, yada, yada.
Get him, Joe.
Thanks for the call, Don't Joe. Him, we always Joe. Love when you contribute.
You start calling him Uncle Joe of the show. The show's Uncle Joe.
All right, well, I think that was productive. Right?
Four out of five.
You got a great Fast and Furious joke in there, so we're happy about that.
That's all I really, you know, honestly, I take it back. My value is comedy.
There you go. See, you and go. That is there a value.
There all right.
When we come back, we are going to be talking to comedian Corey Forrester. Jane came across his very poignant video, so we'll talk about some of the gun stuff, but then we're actually going to talk about a lot of his comedy as well.
Yeah.
Because I also value comedy, Greg Bach. Touch hands. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll be back in a minute.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUKradio.com.
So, have you done sports?
Yes.
What about weather?
Done that.
I've got it! The moon!
Hey everybody, you're listening to James help Seth pick the next theme for this week's Seth Faces the Music. It's on Sundays from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio, WFHR. The problem is, he's done so many shows already, it's getting tough to find the next group of songs. Don't worry though, it'll be fine.
Yeah, alright, you got me, I give up.
That's it! The theme for the next Seth Faces the Music will be...
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate.
Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life and a brighter future. Children International and friends like you are giving these children a chance to achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
As long as there are veterans, the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks will never forget them. Throughout the year, Elks members in your community lend a hand, donate money, volunteer time to enrich the lives of this nation's veterans. It's not something these dedicated Americans feel they have to do. It's something they want to do. Join with America's veterans in saluting the efforts of your local Elks Lodge. Elks Care, Elks Share. To find a lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. In the past, you were involved with the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Today, your local Elks Lodge and community needs your help more than ever. Why? Because needs for helping the youth, veterans, and our communities are greater than available resources. Please consider becoming involved again. Contact your local Elks Lodge and see how little it costs to become reinstated. Visit our website at elks.org. Elks Care, Elks Share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge, number 693.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about? And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number? 1-800-662-HELP. What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
I found hope in the midst of an overwhelming situation.
I let go of trying to control things that I had no control over, and that helped me find peace of mind.
Alcoholism is a disease that can affect any family. Everyone suffers, but there is help and hope at Al-Anon Family Groups.
I was constantly stressed and worried. Now I approach each day with joy and gratitude.
In Al-Anon, families and friends of alcoholics find new ways to heal from the effects of a loved one's drinking.
Al-Anon gave me my life back. I'm a better father and husband.
Are you in an overwhelming situation because of someone else's drinking?
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Local and virtual meetings are available. Maybe one could work for you. For information, call 1-866-200-0033 or visit alanon.org/hope.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Clear skies overnight with a low of 13. Winds out of the south around 5 miles per hour. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 44. Overcast. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow night. Lows level off around 33. Overcast skies. 2 to 4 inches of snow tomorrow night through Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 13.
Not even close.
Thank you. I agree.
What's the inside joke there? Tell us.
It's a podcast called Cocaine and Rhinestones. It's a podcast about American 20th century American country music.
Oh.
And it's one guy, no jokes. He's just and it's brilliant. It's great. It's thoughtful, incisive. I love it. But we'll talk more about that later.
So yeah. Corey Ryan Forrester, comedian, who we just heard on that clip that you posted because of the Nashville shooting this week. And, you know, wish we had a funny man like you on better terms, but that clip really grabbed Jane, I know. And I think it is interesting because you make such an interesting point, because I feel like we're all in a similar age range where that was the conversation. Oh, you'll get more conservative as you get older. Once you start having to pay taxes, you'll start voting Republican. And I think for our millennial, like Gen X, millennials, certainly Gen Z, but they haven't technically gotten older yet. I don't find that to be the case. For me, I certainly have not become more conservative at all. And so I guess for you, away from just being a parent, how has that played out for you, especially from being in the South?
Well, I think that maybe when that phrase was first uttered, there wasn't as much of a divide between conservatives and liberals. Because, like, I'm not an old person, I guess, but I am old enough to remember the Clinton-Dole debates, and I remember how much different they look than any debate now. There was mudslinging, but it did seem like two people who respected each other and were only a little bit, you know, far apart. Because, I mean, really, every Democratic president we've ever had has been a centrist. That's the only way they would get elected, and I understand that. But so for me, I think that when they first said, you know, when you get older, you'll be more conservative, I think maybe what they meant is you'll be more careful, or you will think about family first and whatever it is to protect my children. And for some reason, they believe that falls in line with their doctrine, which nowadays it doesn't, in my opinion. Because, look, their main complaint with Democrats is that Democrats are annoying, and you're never going to find anyone who agrees with that statement more than your boy. All right. I agree. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. But that's pretty much my only complaint about them. Policy wise, I'm like, look, I'm sorry. Yeah, they don't get it done. Yeah, it's just a lot of theater, but at least they're saying the thing and attempting to do the thing that I believe is right. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know any other way to say it, but like, if getting more conservative means that I have to go, well, I guess I have to accept that there's going to be school shootings because that's the only way to honor the founding fathers, I just can't do it.
And, you know, since posting that, and I always commend when comedians make statements like that, you know, because it's like you have a platform, you have a lot of people who will probably respond and say, stick to comedy. But sometimes you just can't, right? Like there's things that you were clearly very fired up and passionate in that video. And like, I think what has been the feedback since you posted that, as far as, has it been mostly people saying, yes, this is it? Or is it in line with who you feel like your audience has become anyways?
If I'm being honest with you, I haven't really checked the comments. Mm-hmm. I stopped doing that.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, like if it's a comedy video that I put out, I do check the comments because I think it's important for me to know what works and what doesn't, how people respond to this. Okay, don't do that anymore. Maybe do more of this or whatever. But when it comes to something like that, I said what I said, what of it approach. Yeah. And my wife and my sister know that I don't check comments anymore, and they know the reason. It's because a lot of times they're death threats or they just put me in a bad mood. But what they'll do is they'll go read the comments and screenshot a couple of them and send them to me. And like, oh my God, can you believe people are saying this? And I'm like, oh my God, I told you I didn't want to hear it. You know? But I assume it's generally positive because I do have a lot of fans and they're the ones that respond most. But yeah, of course there's stick to comedy. That's probably the favorite of those people. And I've never understood that, because it's implying that like every plumber that speaks up at a town hall shouldn't have the authority to do that. Like, hey, stick to fixing my sink, buddy. It's like, I am a comedian. That's who I am as a profession, but I'm also a human being with opinions. And I just, you know, again, it's because they don't like my opinion. If they liked my opinion, they would not say stick to comedy.
Exactly.
They're not telling Rob Schneider to stick to comedy. They're not telling Jim Brewer to stick to comedy. They love when he panders to them, it's just that they don't like my opinion. Therefore, I don't care. I almost said a bad word, and I forgot that we're on actual radio.
I would like
Shane,
to
thanks you.
I appreciate that.
I would like to tell right now, just make a statement. Rob Schneider, please stop doing comedy. Thank you. That's all.
Have you heard the story about when he was opening for Adam Sandler and it was going so bad that he, over the God mic, Sandler goes, "All right, buddy, that's enough."
And really?
I know the person that was opening for Schneider, and they told me that
the Mark Twain prize that they gave to Sandler was wonderful to watch because it was equal parts giving so much love to Adam Sandler, who I love, but also equal parts just ripping Rob Schneider to shreds. Yeah. Everyone making fun of him.
He made fun of himself a little bit.
I mean, he knows how to take it, but also, who respects him? Come on now. What?
All right. So we are talking to Corey Ryan Forrester about his comedy, his video talking about his reaction to the shooting earlier this week. And we're asking you, did you become more or less conservative since becoming a parent? 844-967-2789. And so, Corey, you know, we live in a pretty purple state. We live in cities that are, I guess, Kenosha's fairly purple. Not the but...
City's purple.
Milwaukee's blue. And so, I guess, in living in the South, what is it like to hold the politics that you do have? And, you know, I've visited Atlanta, but I have not spent much time in the South. And so how much do you feel like these conversations can happen versus you just kind of avoid them in your daily life? But I just, you know, you are vocal about your thoughts on this. And so I just didn't think it's interesting as far as how it plays in your home state.
I mean, you know, technically my home state went blue in the election.
That is true.
So, but we all know that we are purple is what I'm saying too. Like, I don't consider us a blue state, but you can't deny that we did go blue for the election. So I'll call us purple. I think what it is that, like, dude, I know I have so many friends from my hometown who kind of identify as conservatives, but they believe all the same things I believe.
Oh, interesting.
And they like, interesting. I'll have buddies that are like, "Well, you aren't going to vote for that guy, are you?" And I'll just question them. I'll go, "How do you feel about this, and this?" And they're like, "Well, yeah, dude, I'm with you on all that." And I was like, "You're not a conservative." And what it is that it is just easier to pretend to be, like, where I'm from, if you're not a Christian, if someone asks you where you go to church, you say, "Oh, that down there," because you don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't blame a lot of these people. A lot of these people, they've got their job, that they really need their job, and they don't need their life to be any more uncomfortable than it already is, working three jobs just to get what used to be one paycheck. And I'm in a position to where I don't have a boss. Well, that's not true. I have about 80 different bosses all year because I'm doing projects for people. But, like, I don't, at the end of the day, I choose what to do. I don't answer to anybody. I don't have to worry about, you know, getting fired for this negative view that I have, but they do. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying that in a perfect world, you shouldn't say, "Hey, morals and virtue over everything," but it's just not realistic to someone who's like, "I need this job. Also, I don't want Thanksgiving to be weird. So at the end of the day, I just don't say anything."
Yeah.
I just can't get too mad at them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But I will tell you this, because of what I just said, there are way more non-conservative people here than you would think. It's just that they fall into that bubble. There's not as many open-mouthed liberals around here, but there's plenty of people.
They're kind of, like, in the closet.
I know several people that, like, they'll talk to me about these things and they won't talk to their family about it. And they're like, don't say I said anything because, you know, my wife or my husband or whatever. And I'm like, God dang, that is super sad, but I hear you, you know.
Our guest is comedian Corey Ryan Forrester. And our question is, did you, when you became a parent, become more conservative? 844-967-2789. Texter from the 608 says, "I don't have kids, but I was also told you will get more conservative as you age." Instead, this Gen Xer saw trickle-down economics fail for decades, corporations continue to get worse, a failed war in Iraq, Act 10, and the GOP becoming full-on fascist jackwagons. "The more I experience, the more liberal and anti-GOP I have become."
That's where I'm at. That's what we were talking about beforehand. I don't have children, and I was told the exact same thing. And as I get older, I only believe in more policies that push to the left that are about... When I think about it, it's as community involvement, as we talked about in the other segment. We talk about these policies. They're about the community. They're about helping people, That just makes sense to me, and well, it always has.
And that's what also makes sense to me about actually paying your taxes. Like, I just did my taxes last weekend. Well, I'm not told. I haven't pressed submit on TurboTax yet, but I see the estimate of what I'm going to owe. And yes, that sucks. Yeah. But for me, somehow I've been able to buy into and understand this pays for stuff. This pays for stuff that we all benefit from. And so that is a part of being a citizen. And yet I feel like taxes, because that is what it comes. Oh, once you start paying taxes once you start making even more money, it's going to come back. And it's like, this is part of being in a society.
Taxes are the price we pay for living in a civilized society. Oliver Wendell Holmes said that. He was a Republican. He was a Supreme Court justice. Those are his words. They are the price we pay for living in a civilized society.
Yeah, I've had those arguments before, and I've had to tell some of my friends, listen, buddy, and this is no offense to you, but last year I paid more in taxes than you made, and I'm not saying a word. Now, and do I like that? I absolutely don't like that. And my main problem with tax, I don't have a problem that there are taxes. You know, some people are like, oh, that's theft, whatever. I want public libraries. I want schools to be better. I want roads to be safer. My problem is that some of my taxes go to things that I don't like. Yeah. I think that, like, war, you know, and bailing out the banks and all that stuff. Like, I've always said that, like, at the end of the year, they should tell you how much you owe in taxes, and then you get to divvy up where those taxes go. Like, here's all the boxes for everything your taxes do, and you get to decide the dollar amount of your taxes that go to each one. And I think that would also be good in finding out what's really important to people.
Yeah.
But that's not how it works.
No.
Therefore, I'm fine knowing that, hey, at least the schools get some of it. And also, it's not enough of a detriment for me to go, I'll be on the side with the gun lunatics and the people who are trying to strip away everybody's rights. Yep. I wish it wasn't the case, but I have to, like, a lot of people are one party candidates, and that's abortion. Well, I'm a one party candidate too, and it's the opposite of everything they say, and so therefore I gotta pay more taxes. So,
but Democrats are still annoying.
Dude, they're so annoying, and I think that they're lazy, and I think that they don't really ever get anything done.
I think
it's a bunch of lip service. They're completely spineless. I really would love to tell you that I'm an independent, but we all know that an independent is just a liberal that doesn't want to pay taxes or a conservative that wants to smoke weed. That's the only two types of independent.
I always say that a libertarian is just a Republican on an indie label. That's all they are.
Yes. It's a Republican who wants to have liberal friends and thinks that they're like, no, don't worry, I'm not either one. And realistically, I would love to not align with one of them. It's just that one of them is a certain way that I do not like at all, and the other one is just simply annoying. I'll deal with the annoying people.
All right. Well, when we come back, Corey Ryan Furstall will still be here, and we're going to talk about his comedy and his new special. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. always on the Civic Media app.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand?
You hold my hand!
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on The Shaw.
Slight chance for scattered rain showers today. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Highs around 45. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 38. Scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow, 62. Cloudy. A dusting of snow Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
In rural Georgia, it's pretty much just like, hey, I'm in a field, you're in a field, that guy's got a guitar, we better get married, we're both 15, Jesus is looking. You know what I mean? That's a date. That's your first date.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. He is Greg Bach. And we are talking to comedian and author Corey Ryan Forrester. You just heard a little bit of his stand-up. And you have a new special out with your well-read comedy group, right?
I do. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called Corey Ryan Forrester, A Long Line of Stupid. And I'm real proud of it.
So what all went into getting that special done?
Well, basically, it was a very kind of crazy process in terms of we had a quick turnaround and not a lot of time to prepare for it, because we just like when we shot it like a year and a half ago. It just now came out. It got pitched during the pandemic, and we weren't going on the road during the pandemic because, you know, our jobs were illegal. What are you going to do? And so we just get back on the road for the first time, and my manager comes to me and says, hey, Outer Circle Media wants to know if you want to do a special. And I was so like, cool. Well, yeah, when are we shooting it? And they were like, December. And this was like August or September. And I just straight up said, absolutely not. They were like, really? And I said, no, I said, because it takes a year, in my opinion, to get the jokes ready. And sometimes even longer than that. But they were like, listen, here's the deal. We're using COVID grant money, and it will end at the end of December. So if you want to do this without paying out of your pocket, that's the deal. That's what you got to do. And my manager is going to hate me for saying this, but then she said, by the way, it only has to be a half hour. And I was like, oh, well, never mind.
Okay.
Like that's no problem. I've got a half an hour. So, but for those 4 or 5 months, we toured a lot. We were, you know, taking notes on ourselves. We were helping each other tag stuff. And like we got it ready. Like it was good. Once we found out we were doing it as a group and they were going to be half hours, it was tight. It was wonderful. It was a lot of new material peppered in with a couple things that I'd been doing over the years, but never recorded, which made it easier for me. Cause it's like, oh, I've got this back pocket 12-minute bit, mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. But no, they turned out great. But that was just where my attitude was. I was like, I'm not good enough to do that. But
isn't that crazy I feel like for so many creative people, it takes an outside deadline for us to believe in ourselves. I have to get it done, because if I don't get it done, I'm going to embarrass myself. And so I need to not procrastinate.
And we used to work in like that, because when we signed our first book deal with Simon & Schuster, they gave us 6 weeks to write the book. And, you know, that's insane. Like, normal people get a year. And my dad gave me the best advice that anyone's ever given me, and I think about it all the time. He said, son, if they gave you a year, you'd still write it in 6 weeks. And I was like, that's so true.
Yeah.
And I think the book turned out better because of it, because I was forced to get it all out.
Yeah.
And, of course, there were rewrites and drafts or whatever, but it was just like, you go time, buddy. You're in a pressure cooker. And I work best like that.
It says a lot about you as a person to say, like, I want to take the time and the care with the jokes, because I get that completely. Because we've all run into people who are like, they're 6 months into comedy, like, I have 30 minutes. I'm like, you don't have 30 minutes. No. You got 4 minutes.
Yeah, not good ones, at least.
No, not good at all.
You can stand up there for 30 minutes.
Yeah. 30 minutes. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like I said, I've never been more prouder of an individual set that I've ever done. We got to film it in our basically our home club at Zany's in Nashville. And it was just magical. The whole weekend was magical. The cast and crew were amazing. And it's on Amazon Prime now. I think it's real funny.
I'm looking at it right now. You can literally stream it right now. And so I guess for people, we're talking to Corey Ryan Forrester, who's a comedian. And for people who are unfamiliar with Well-Read, your group, and then you work with Trey Crowder and Drew Morgan. If they're not familiar with your guys' brand of comedy, how would you describe it?
Well, I mean, first off, I'd like to say this. It's 100% comedy first. Like, I think a lot of people that maybe aren't fans of us or haven't seen us are like, oh, these guys are just going up there and doing rip from the headlines, Bill Maher stuff, and pandering to a liberal crowd. And that's not even a little bit the case. I mean, we do have a different perspective, like, than normal, typical normal Southerners. And that's mm-hmm. how, when we met, I've been doing stand-up, I'm on year 19 now. And I met the guys 12 years ago when they started. And what happened was we each saw each other's sets and we realized, oh, my God, there's another one like me. Which, and by that, I mean, usually a comedian from the South either leans in and goes full Larry the Cable Guy, or if they want to do smart humor, quote, smart humor, they drop their accent completely. There's plenty of examples of those dudes. And we were like, I want to do both of the, I want to keep my accent, but still say these things. Cause like, I want to be me and I want to speak. To me, comedy, when you start out, it's always about going against the grain. And there's nothing more against the grain than talking about liberal ideology in Tennessee, which is where I started. And it just turns out that those were also my opinions. So, you know, and that's just how it kind of works. We clicked together. We wrote together for years and years and years. And then Trey blew up the internet with a video. And we literally built a sold out tour on that. And that was 7 years ago.
Man. And Corey,
7 years ago. Wow.
Corey, yeah. you have been to Wisconsin before, right?
Oh, my God. Comedy on State is one of my favorite clubs. We also do the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee. I love Gold Badgers. You
Gold
know?
Badgers. Just Gold
Badgers. Corey, can we just say that the green room at Comedy on State is one of the most glorious places to sit in?
It's top three. It's top three green rooms in the country.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, being, it's beautiful.
Number one being Denver Comedy Works, but that's not even fair. but yeah, no, actually, I was thinking about their condo. Comedy on State's the best green room there is. You're right.
Yeah, all right. It's a great green room.
And so, do you have a Midwest accent impression you can give us?
Oh, you know, I sort of just go into this when I'm with my. I go to Iowa a lot for, and I know a lot of people are like, well, that's Minnesota, you know. But this is just how my in-laws talk up there in Iowa. They're always talking about like, hey, you know, we got to go down to Menards, you know, and get it because that's where you get the good deals at Menards. That's where you save big money. We'll go get us a couple tenderloin sandwiches and drink us a couple Bush Light. You know, have just a doggone rootin' tootin' frickin' damn good time, you know.
I am offended.
Are you?
I am offended.
Oh, stop!
I'm glad. As a person who comes from the group of the most lamented accent and has been called stupid, hold myself able to. I can do an accent and everybody can kiss my butt.
I appreciate that.
Anytime anytime anyone's ever doing a dumb guy, it's always a Southern accent. Yep. I saw a TV show where a dude was from Nevada, but his character was stupid. And so he was like, I'll tell you right now, we're going to go down to Lost. I was like, they don't talk like that there. You just read dumb in the script and that's what you did. So you know what? I don't give a toot what you think about my Midwest accent.
All right, Corey, well, you'll have to let us know next time you're in Wisconsin, and we will definitely be there, whether it's in Milwaukee or Madison or anywhere else. But thank you so much for spending time with us today. It was a delight.
Thank y'all for having me. Y'all go to parttimefunnyman.com and subscribe to my newsletter. Love y'all. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're taking a break for the top of the hour news, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
And it sounds so sweet and plain. I got to go.
On Tuesday, April 4th, we have a chance to elect people who will do the right thing for Wisconsin and for Waukesha.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
What's up, y'all? I'm Kelly Clarkson, and as the daughter of a school teacher, I know just how important education is. No matter how old you are or your situation, continuing to learn will enrich your life and help remove barriers you didn't even know were there. So much opportunity, y'all. Whether it's a foreign language, history, or a different way to look at things, take some time each day to learn something new. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station.